estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 486. I'm Adam, and don't you dare make this place domestic. And here's Ben Shoveler.
You really should record the pre-on-air bits to put out, because the amount of abuse you give everyone is shocking.
I just want to allow
all of our listeners to know just what a cruel man you are.
Thank you.
And calling Kirby Bartlett Sloan what you were calling him before we went live is unforgivable, Adam.
Well, we were live at that point. It was on Facebook.
I like Kirby. I just want to put it out there. I like Kirby. If you don't, maybe you shouldn't have him on the podcast.
For 10 years, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Excuse me, would you mind not farting while I'm saving the world?
No, it rather depends on what I've been eating. Mary Lang.
Pickled onions? Pickled eggs? You kiss this man?
And after a bit of a stop-start...
Am I going to do a quote? No one ever told me I was going to do a quote.
Yeah, we told it the last couple of weeks. But never mind, it's fine. We didn't expect you to do
it. I've been here at the beginning for the last couple of weeks. I'm only 25 minutes in.
Well, didn't expect you to do one, but...
Can I do a quote then? Can you do me again so I can do
a quote? I beg your pardon? That's what she said.
Well, it was. And I gave it to her.
That's what she said. Anyway, right. Do you want
to
quote?
Give me again so I can do a quote.
Kirby, give him a quote.
No, I've got a quote. It's fine, I know one.
Oh, go on then. Ben Shoveler. Hang on, let me do the introduction. Ben Shoveler.
Yeah,
stop it.
When you're ready.
Yeah. More than ready.
Anytime you like.
Ben Shoveler.
Is that me?
Yep.
Here we go then.
Yep.
Hi, I'm the Doctor.
Hey, I don't remember that. Was that in there, Kirby? Oh, yes, it was, wasn't it? Yes, well done. Pot luck on your part. Okay, on the live feed...
Was it worth waiting for?
No.
You could just say fantastic, and that would be...
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Oh, I've started.
Sorry, I had a bit of a sneeze there.
Oh, my God.
Elinian Robin said, yes, you are. Don't know what that refers to. And then... Well, I'm not going to complain that you are late because I know that and I know what's happening. Well, I don't know what's happening. Right then, so this week we're going to be... Oh, and then Lillian Romney says, lol. We're going to be reviewing Aliens of London and whatever the second episode was called, which I can't remember the top of my head.
World War III.
War III, okay. I thought it was World War III, actually, but never mind.
I said World War III.
Did you? It came through as War III. I just say.
Well, you need to have your ears checked.
No, I don't. It's just a Skype thing. The episode begins with the Doctor and Rose arriving back in good old Blighty, London stroke Cardiff, and Rose sort of basically saying, don't go anywhere, because he's told her, is it 6 days or something since, or something like that?
No, 12 hours.
How many?
12 hours.
12 hours, but of course, when she goes... back into the flat, her mother's sort of a bit shocked to see her, and then they soon realise that with all the posters that have been posted around, missing persons posters, that it's been slightly longer than 12 hours, as you say, and the doctor
comes in 12 months.
Yeah, so there it is. I like that. This bit here, to be precise.
It's not 12 hours, it's 12 months. You've been gone a whole year. Sorry.
Now, that was less than 6 seconds, Ben, before you say anything.
That's what she said.
You've been waiting for
Thank you very much,
an opportunity. After the titles, we have a little tow rag painting Bad Wolf on the side of a perfectly decent-looking police box before riding away to appear in Stranger Things. Oh, no, that's a different bicycle, sorry.
The actor who, that little boy that was playing a spraying Bad Wolf on the side of the TARDIS, is now the MP for Upper Gloucester North.
Is he?
No.
So I thought you might say that. Okay, right.
That'd be stupid, Adam. Don't be so foolhardy.
So anyway, the Doctor and Rose have to run the gauntlet.
Master?
God, yes.
The actor who did this... the spray painting is named Corey Dobie or Doabby. I have no idea if he's been in anything.
Thank you for that. He was in Doctor Who. Gone yes. quiet. Anyway, so they have to run the gaunt of moanings from the police and Jackie, for especially the doctor, for taking her away. And then she has to explain that nothing, you know, exceptional occurred during her absence. So they go to the roof of, I presume, the block where she lives, to have a chat. Probably a bit drafty up there. I probably have gone into the park or something like that. But, of course, it's a great vantage point for the slightly badly CGI'd spaceship, which, obviously, when we watch these episodes on the old-style cathode ray tellies, it wouldn't have looked so, well, poor.
I think it looks pretty good.
It's not too bad, but you can see it's a bit...
Yeah.
Know, certain aspects of it are quite good for the time.
And our were not cathode ray in 2005.
Well, mine were. I wasn't posh mine like you, were. Mary. I had cathode ray.
I didn't get a flat-screen TV until 2008.
I didn't get a flat-screen TV until the 3rd of December 2009. What about
I
you?
Didn't get one until the 4th of October, 2022.
I can give you the date when I got mine, too.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
We'll hold our breath.
Yes.
January 20th, 2008. Oh,
anyway, so this spaceship rather slowly glides around London and smashes into the slightly reversed and then not reversed clock of the Houses of Parliament, which is still quite cool.
Queen Elizabeth Tower, you don't see the Houses
of Parliament. Oh, here we go. It's still the clock of the Houses of Parliament, because that actually
yes,
passes
it in. Is. Just don't say Big Ben, because Big Ben is not the tower.
Yeah, I'm quite aware of that, because we live in this country. Anyway, right then.
I know.
And it then crashes into the River Thames. We see some very happy extras, being able to do a bit of acting while stuck in a gridlock situation. I'm sure they go around to everybody saying, can I have a job at a convention? I appeared in that scene where everybody's gridlocked in the Aliens of London. And then the doctor gets excited because he knows it's like first contact thing, and he thinks he's going to be able to sit back and watch it. But not. And the thing about, you know, they jump to the TV news, live news feeds. The bloke, and I probably said this last time we reviewed this.
Yes,
episode,
you did. I know what you're going to say.
He's overacting really badly. He doesn't come across as a newscaster at all. He comes across as an actor who's just sort of rocked up in the middle of it all and is just sort of helping out doing a bit of newscasting. And then, of course, we cut to the American master. No, she had a name, but I never saw a name come up on the screen in anything she did. But you probably deny that. Yes,
well, she's been in. She was in any time that they needed to show quote CNN. Although it's not CNN. Anytime they needed to show that, it was her and Trinity Wells. Yeah.
Yeah, but did her name ever come up on the screen?
I'm not sure if it ever came up in this story. It does come up in the later stories that she was in.
Okay, no, I didn't know that. Anyway, yeah, so she's telling her viewers about what's going on in London. With
also, apparently, there is a real newscaster later on. And,
yes, we know
he
that.
He doesn't overact.
No, because he does a good job and he knows what he's doing. Yes, you were talking about that other, what's his name? He had the stroke. I can't remember his name now. Oh, well, never mind.
Bloke who's on, this won't help anyone who's not in England, the bloke who's on Sunday mornings on BBC.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Somebody will come up. Probably Alan T. Butcher will come up with him some point soon. Then, of course, they flick
remember, in. Alan T. Butcher has closely studied this.
Anyway, the Doctor and Rose are watching what's all this stuff unfolding on TV. And, of course, Matt Baker, who was on Blue Peter at the time, gets his little cameo. While making a cake that looks like the spaceship. Yes.
And not only that, but it's covered in jelly babies when he pulls out the one he already made.
That's what she... Oh, sorry.
How on earth can you...
What?
I don't know.
He said pulled out.
Sir.
So that's, well, never mind. Anyway, meanwhile, they cut to
have to explain. I'm not sure where you're going.
A corridor scene where some army personnel are sort of entering.
Andrew Marr.
That's it, Andrew Marr. You got there ahead of Alan T. Butcher. Well done.
Because I've got the Google.
The young lady.
I wasn't looking.
The young lady from Torchwood is looking after the body that was recovered from the spaceship that landed in the Thames.
And her name is Posh. Dead. That's Posh from the Torchwood.
And they did establish that that was her in canon.
Yeah, I was waiting for her to die, and she didn't, did she? So I said about her dying last week, and she obviously didn't. So I'm quite glad it was. Anyway, back to this bit.
Yeah, they established that it was her during the scene in Torchwood when she died.
Oh, okay. But anyway, this they've got this body. She assumes that it's dead, but it's not dead yet.
It's getting better.
As they roll it back into the refrigerator. Andrew Marr is broadcasting from outside Buckingham Palace, sorry, Downing Street, where we meet a couple of sort of later to be discovered to be Raxacoracophalopatorians.
Raxacoracophalopatorians.
I can't remember. I can't say that, so I will say Slovene because it is the Slovene family in this particular thing. It's a shame we've never met any other Raxacoracophalopatorians. We've never met any other families.
Yes. Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh, okay, whatever. Anyway, so they're all...
Including one that was orange.
Thank you for that. And of course, we soon discover that the politicians have got slight gas issues. Maybe they're sort of lactose intolerant or something like that, because they're breaking wind
a lot.
Don't
say anything against lactose intolerant, Adam. I'll get very offended.
Well, I'm slightly lactose intolerant. I've got a terrible wind when I eat cheese. Yeah, I don't get it.
It's not wind that I get when I eat cheese, Adam. It's a little bit more than that.
Thank you for that. I didn't really need to find that exactly.
I mean, if it was only wind, I'd be pleased.
But if I have milk in my tea, I don't have an issue. Funny, that, isn't it?
It's the same with me and cheese on pizza.
Oh, I was all right when I had cheese. So it can't be that, then. But I do, when I have extra mature cheddar, I have all sorts of horrible things happen to me.
The 20 megabyte cheese podcast.
Yeah.
I don't like cheese. I can't
cheese,
eat.
Gromit!
Right, anyway, what are we up to? Oh, yeah, so there's all stuff kicking off at 10 Downing Street, so we meet all these rather dodgy-looking politicians.
Mean politicians?
Pardon?
Rather rotund politicians.
Well, rather dodgy-looking politicians. Well, that's just politicians.
Yeah, just politicians. Very good.
Obese.
I like that one.
Can you imagine what it must have been like when they had a casting call and, you know, they said, you're not fat enough. Well, we're only casting fat people.
Well, I'd love to go to a casting and be told that.
But then be told, oh, yeah, you're the right size. You're fat enough. I mean, it's like...
Pad me out a bit, you know.
How many rooms are there for fat people?
Indeed. So these politicians who...
They're only big now bones.
What? Sorry? Big boned?
Big boned.
But they were fat.
are up for something.
They're called fluffy.
We know they're actually aliens. So that, and of course, with all this news going out about this first contact thing, it's got some rather ridiculous scenes of people hanging out of their balconies with banners saying "Hello ET" and stuff like that. And then Mickey has a look out of his sort of balcony himself and sees the Doctor walking towards the TARDIS, and then runs to try and catch him straight into the corrugated iron fence thing where the TARDIS stood. TARDIS. My daughter used to call it a TARDIS.
Well, I'm sure his running into the wall was for comedic effect.
It was.
It just looked too fake. Yeah, you know, he would run that hard up and into the TARDIS.
Yes, indeed. And then we meet Harriet, Harriet Jones, is it? Harriet Jones. What's her name?
Well, back when Noah Clark was starting to do the character, he was told to do it comedically.
Oh, okay. But is it Harriet Jones MP for Rydell?
Yes, Northman? Rydell.
Oh, Rydell High. Yeah.
Rydell High.
I must admit, her constantly doing that is a little bit irritating with the.
No, it's not. It's
a good. There are things that, you know, when you get a nice repeating funny moment like that, I think it's always good for any show. And that was that little one I did there. I liked it.
Yeah, a couple of times.
It sets the character.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose so.
I believe she does it more in this story than any other stories.
Well, isn't she Prime Minister for all the other stories she's in?
Yes. And there's the comedic thing where she actually introduces herself with her card as Prime Minister once or twice in the next story we see her in. And then once or twice in the other two stories that she's in.
Yeah, okay. But then it's followed by, you know, the funny line, yes, we know who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the Daleks. Yeah, I love that one.
Meanwhile.
You know, she dies.
Meanwhile, lady from Torchwood is in the lab on her own. And so she hears some banging going on.
That's what he said.
And when she approaches the banging, Deb said, "Ooh, I'll just run. I wouldn't go and open the door up."
This is a deliberate recreation of the mortuary scene in the 1996 movie.
It was Mary. Well done. Hey. Anyway, so the doctor's parked his TARDIS in a cupboard. Opens the door with his sonic screwdriver and walks into a room full of soldiers who, after a slight confused pause, grab their guns and point it at him. And does he say, "Take me to your leader," or something like that?
Yes, he does. Yes.
I've always wanted to say this.
So that would have been a good quote.
I'll remember that for next week.
Okay.
And then he takes over the situation like the doctor always does.
Indeed. So, and then, of course, the woman from Torchwood does eventually open the cupboard up, and just in time for the doctor to investigate the noise, he finds her sort of crumpled in a heap, and they all go in search of the creature that has got out of its little...
Someone that you've met.
...phase of unconsciousness. Someone I've met? What are you talking about?
Yes, Jimmy V.
Okay. Didn't know he was that athletic, to be fair. He says, "Don't shoot." Of course, he does get shot, and dead. The piggy dead. While the Slovene sort of get together for yet another meeting, they sort of get a bit silly with the commanding officer of the military and basically kill him and take his body and throw things in the cupboard. And we've got to mention the Prime Minister has disappeared, so this chap, the Slovene, is going to take over as acting Prime Minister, and he's done that. So have I gone past the scene where Mickey demands an apology from Jackie because he was accused of, because he goes into the
vampires? No, I don't think so.
Oh, good, right. So Mickey arrives at Jackie's flat where everybody in the whole neighbourhood is crowded around their TV, because obviously none of their TVs are working, to watch what's going on. And he's a bit appalled because, of course, Jackie accused him of murdering Rose, which is a fairly plausible storyline. Yes?
How can Jackie afford a television licence? I thought they were quite expensive.
About £4,000.
Well, she could have.
You see the big overstuffed like leather chairs they also have in there. I mean,
yeah,
she's got some crazy stuff in that.
This is public housing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. See, this is the thing that you need to understand. You see, this is why people want to come to England so much, because when you turn up in England, you get given a flat which is fully furnished, a job, a car. And that's exactly what happened to Jackie, which she spent all of her benefits money on nice stuff instead of food for Rose, which is why she's looking so gaunt.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, Mickey demands an explanation, and they sort of... And then, of course, I forgot to mention the doctor gave Rose the key to the TARDIS, which apparently glows when the TARDIS is about to arrive. The Doctor is not particularly happy when Jackie and Mickey follow Rose behind them into the TARDIS console room, and Jackie then goes a little bit funny and realises the Doctor's an alien, and there's a emergency helpline from bad, well, not bad, he's not a bad actor, is he? He's just a bit over the top. Well, he is a bad actor, isn't he? Because he can't act as a normal newscaster. He has to act like a overdramatic actor with a newscaster's coat on. Anyway, there's an emergency alien helpline, which she called. And, of course, the number's on the screen, so you can imagine at the time, Doctor Who fans are phoning that number left, right and centre.
How many times did you call it, Adam?
None. Because Deb wouldn't allow me.
What happens if you call that number?
I don't know, but Deb wouldn't have allowed me to phone that number because in those days...
Well, I do know what happens.
What?
Because the BBC has a set, like, kind of load of numbers that they use for TV programmes. Because if you remember when they were doing the... Was it Sarah Jane Adventures and they had to call the Doctor? They're saying, call the Doctor or whatever. And then everyone, oh, I can't remember. But it was one of them. And they put a number on the screen, and loads of Doctor Who fans rung the number, and it was just a non-connected number. It's fake, because it's television, like, people, because like it's not in, real.
In the States, we use 555 numbers.
Okay. Welcome to the 20 megabyte telephone numbers on TV podcast.
Made a joke out of that in one of his movies.
Where did I get up to? Yeah, Alien Help.
Schwarzenegger did a lot of funny stuff in his movies. Some of it was called acting.
Anyway, so she calls this number and refers to a few keywords, which triggers...
I love that. Blue box, yeah. TARDIS, the Doctor.
Which excites the Asian chap from number 10, who knows now that things are going to get interesting.
Things are going to get funky.
Mm-hmm. So,
Does it make you wonder, though, and to me this is a bit of incongruity, is that if people on Earth are so thick, like the Doctor says, that we forget when things are, you know, crazy right in front of us,
yes.
How is it that they have a file about the Doctor?
But that was in the those archives underneath the Tower of London, what they're called again.
Yeah, Black it's not everybody who's thick.
No, well... we've just, in the middle of this coronavirus thing, it's been quite blatantly obvious that quite a few people are quite thick, to be fair.
Yes.
And so, congratulations, Mr. RTD, for preempting that. Where do we get up to? Oh, yeah, so, Harriet. That sounded like Carriot, but it's because I was going to say something else, and then I went and moved into Harriet, is listening into the Slovene conversation.
You moved into earwigging. Harriet?
She's moving into sort of like spy mode. So the Doctor is then showing the kids in the TARDIS console room what he can get on his telly.
All the sports packages.
Yeah. And they step out of the TARDIS and to be surrounded by soldiers because, of course, now he's alien, blah. Oh, no, it's because they want the Doctor to help them. Yes.
Yeah, the scene where the helicopter is shining the spotlight down on the Doctor and Rose, that's a CGI helicopter.
Thank you. Right, where do we get up to CGI helicopters? Oh, yeah, so Jackie said, well, yeah, I want my daughter, don't hurt my daughter, but go and get the Doctor. But they ended up taking the Doctor and Rose, and of course he's showing off to no end because they're going to 10 Downing Street and she can go in with them. Meanwhile, the police visit Jackie to get to take a statement, and of course the main officer there has got a bit of a gastric wind problem, which indicates that we now know he's actually Slovene and she's in terrible danger.
Maybe he was lactose intolerant. Oh, no.
Harriet meets Rose and tells her all about what she's heard. The Doctor is given a little sort of like an identity badge to go into a meeting where he can then address everyone and tell them what's happening. Sadly for him, he's been sort of found out. And so while the Slovene are unzipping their foreheads and... getting into battle mode.
That's not a freak to hear every day, is it?
No. And the Doctor and everybody in the room gets electrocuted by some button. And that's the end of that episode.
Master?
Yes?
what I like about that is, we remember back in the classic series, we established that the Doctor could not be easily electrocuted.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, actually, at the time, I couldn't remember how he got out of this. I was thinking, how did he get out of it? So I had forgotten that. So it was quite a good cliffhanger. Wasn't she here? Anyway, but when he gets out of it and he sort of throws the energy into the Slovene's gadget, which then electrocutes all the Slovene, allowing Jackie to escape. Although when the Slovene was sort of going all lightning-y, she was still sort of in a little sort of fetal shape thing, where Deb said, well, run now, you can go. Of course, she doesn't go until Mickey comes in and rescues her. And of course, when all the police come in and find all these dead bodies, the Doctor gets the blame for it. And the dopey police officers believe them, but the Doctor runs, and then he gets caught again, and then manages to get away by the fact that they sort of corner him with a lift in the backdrop. And they had plenty of time to shoot him while he was sort of stepping back.
Yeah, why didn't they shoot him while he was standing there?
Because that would have meant the end of Christmas after only four episodes. And although he was still not happy doing it, he wanted to hold out for a series.
Actually, since this was filmed during the first filming block, he was probably quite happy doing it.
Okay,
you can tell he was annoyed in the respect that he was arguing with Russell T. Davies and Judy Gardner about which jumper he should be wearing. he wasn't happy with the colour in this particular episode, if I remember rightly. He wanted more of a fawn than the one he actually wore.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Right then. Then a chase of...
It was the filming of this particular, this first block, that he already realised he didn't want to do it anymore.
Okay. Anyway, so a chase ensues with Harriet, Rose, the Doctor, and the Slovene, who we see a few scenes of them running across the screen because they're very quick CGI scenes, but they're quite effective, to be fair.
It looks great, but it does not match up with the costumes at all.
No, because they're quite lumbering, aren't they, when you see...
Or how they move, when it's CGI. Yeah.
I thought it was rubbish. I thought that really downgraded it to a children's TV show. You might as well put a cartoon on it.
Or Benny Hill music in the background. Actually, it would work quite well with the Benny Hill music while they're running through the corridors and the Slovene following them.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Doctor eventually gets them into a sort of room and then has a conversation that threatens to increase the flammability of some alcohol, but the bluff gets called on that one. So what he actually does is he locks them in, and in the room they've got metal walls that come and block out every entrance and exit. Hang on, I've got something coming through on the live feed.
I believe this is supposed to be the same room that later on the Master gasses all of his staff.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Thank you for that, Kirby. No spoilers, everyone who hasn't seen the future episodes. Neil James says... Oh, pardon? What?
There's more episodes?
There are, yeah. Neil James says, hi, you beauty.
There's
more
doctors.
Oi! Right.
What?
Point deducted for Kirby for any future quiz that we might probably never do. hi, you beauty. Sorry I'm late, but not as late as the Doc and Rose. I'm not being interrupted. I'm going to read that message from Neil, and then he finishes with... A year, eh? Oh, of course. So, sorry for that, Neil. That was Ben's fault. Wasn't it, Ben?
What? Everything's my fault. What? What
was that? So, yeah, meanwhile, Jackie and Mickey are trying to escape their situation. Andrew Marr is still broadcasting from outside number 10. And the Slovene are welcoming in some dignitaries. And so... Yeah, and then, of course, the
Master.
Police Slovene has returned to his what?
It's amazing how all of the cars around number 10 and all over London seem to have Welsh license plates.
Okay, well, that can happen, but there you go. Anyway, so Yeah, so
they found a job lot of cheap cars, did the government, but they were still in Wales. That's where they were registered. That's all it was, Kirby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
Kirsty's almost ready. She's okay. Saying goodbye on Colton.
She's very dedicated to podcasting. What I'll do, I'll call her, and then she can join the conversation as and when. Isn't that generous of me?
Yeah.
Kirsty,
just sign on and press the join the call button.
Right. Hey. I've got her on the screen, ready to drop in. So tell her if you can, Kirby, to let me know when she's actually ready. Thank you very much, and I shall continue with this episode. So while they're in this lockdown room, which is rather ironic for where we are now, I'm going to scratch my back with this magic wand. They find bodies in the cupboard, and I think they, at some point in the cupboard, they also find the Prime Minister.
They do.
Yes.
So they go about, they got a computer, fortunately. Have they got a computer? Yes. No, they got a phone. And the doctor, who is actually, when you look at the doctor in history.
Master?
No, the doctor. We talked about Master just a minute ago.
All communications cannot go through that steel thing except for Rose's superphone.
Yeah, well, that's logical.
Boss Kirby, duh.
Anyway, yeah, because he's. I was just saying about the doctor and the way he is to Mickey. He's very bullying-ish. Does that make sense? He's horrible. So he's not really that horrible. It's not as if Mickey is a member of the police or the army, which he has. You know, other doctors have been a bit, you know, rude to people. In the, but he's very rude to Mickey, and I've never really worked out.
I don't know.
Why.
The relationship kind of reminds me of, I don't know, maybe you and Kirby.
No, it's Kirsty and Kirby.
Actually, I think it's because his first impression of Mickey was as a cowering.
Maybe.
Cowering,
our first impression. Yeah.
Careful what you say now, Kirby. Because you being Mickey.
Anyway, so the doctor wants to rope Mickey into, or Ricky, as she has been calling him, he has been calling him, into a little plan for searching stuff on the internet, getting into systems via a password. What's the password, Kirby? Oh.
I don't remember.
Wow, that's very unusual. I don't remember either, but I thought if anybody would remember the password, it would be...
I was just about to look it up when you asked.
Were you?
I thought you looked at these at the same time that Adam did.
Yeah, well, the password doesn't come on. Anyway, they get into the unit computer and...
Doctor 123, apparently.
Is it?
No.
Neil James says Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Ah.
Two F's, one L.
So I wonder how many Doctor Who fans at that stage changed all their passwords to Buffalo.
I didn't.
Bet some did. Anyway, so there's a bit of a hold off in the flat with Mickey and Mickey and what's the other woman called? Oh yeah, Jackie. And the doctor says, get some vinegar together, and throws the vinegar over that once it comes through the door, obviously. And there's a rather revolting explosion of green, which
we're
obviously made me think of Baldrick. To be fair. Oh no, Percy.
Well, it
Lord
me of
Percy.
The last time I had a really bad cold, actually.
Oh,
well, one of those sneezes that just creeps up on you, and you haven't got a tissue handy.
Yeah.
And you've got white walls. Well, you did have white walls.
Yes. Anyway, so they get covered in green and.
Master.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
When Harriet Jones, Rose, and the Doctor are congratulating themselves, they decide to have a drink from whatever that liquor is.
Yes.
And this particular doctor does not like to drink.
Okay. What is it, tea?
No.
I once did a drama.
It's some alcohol. It's the alcohol that is like brandy or something that he was holding up as the weapon earlier.
Okay, no, but it doesn't have to actually be alcohol. Well, I did a film once in which I played a baddie, and we had to do this scene over and over again. And so instead of having to knock back a shot of whiskey, otherwise I would have blottoed after about 20 takes, it was actually cold tea.
to say.
No, I was pointing out, though, that sometimes the Doctor likes... The Doctor, not Chris Eccleston. The Doctor likes wine or whatever sometimes, like the Third Doctor.
Okay.
And particularly the 11th Doctor hated it.
Okay. I think that took that particular segment of the show took a little bit longer than it should have. So we'll go back to the episode.
You didn't understand what I was saying.
No, I didn't, no. So anyway, right, just moving forward a little bit now, because the Doctor, there's a point in which the Doctor has a conversation with the lady, Slovene, whose name, oh, actually tried to get her on the show. She never answered the email. Mary gave her email address. She initially, 3-4 years ago, said she'd come on it and never said, come back to me on it, and so I sent her another email.
She was really excited about it when we talked.
I think she realised that she wasn't going to get paid, and then decided that was that.
Kirsten
Kirby.
After 400 and however many episodes, Adam, I'm still waiting to get paid.
Well,
I still turn up.
After 480 whatever episodes, I'm waiting to be paid. Right then.
Why should you get paid? I am perfectly
happy to not get paid because it's fun.
I'm not happy not to get paid. I'll put that out there.
It's at this juncture that I can now introduce to the world of podcasting, Kirsty Bissett.
A fun fact.
Not yet,
though. We talked about Fraser Hines getting into Outlander because the author really liked his name, and we've all heard the story. And then he ended up, when they filmed it, that he was included in Outlander. Well, Annette Badland is also in those first episodes of Outlander.
Do you mean Highlander?
It'd be interesting to talk to him about, you know, did he meet up with her or, you know.
When you say Outlander, is that Highlander or is it Outlander?
Outlander.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I don't know. Never heard of it.
So we're done with the episode then?
Hang on, Kirsty. Pretend you haven't said that, because the listeners will be totally and utterly confused, because I said I introduced you and then Mary spoke. So they will think
I didn't hear you introducing him. I'm sorry.
Right then. May I introduce Kirsty Bissett?
Shame. I quite enjoy being Oliver. He had a wife, a mistress, and a young farmer.
Nice one. Right then, Kirsty, we're sort of halfway through the second episode, so you'll be pleased to hear you've missed about an hour's worth.
All three-fourths of the way through both episodes.
Of stuff. Right then.
Have we talked about the fact that Toshiko is in this?
No, we haven't spoken about that. Is she in that lady who was in Torchwood?
Yes, no, she's in this.
Have we spoken about that?
And it's actually official.
yes, it is.
I mentioned that already.
Yeah, don't think he would have mentioned that.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I'm just shocked and stunned. No, no. Shocked and stunned.
Tell you what, I just won't say anything for the rest of the going through this and let you come up with the rest of the
here we go.
Anecdotes.
Yes.
Right, so let's join
except Mary's got a whole list too.
Yes, okay. We're up to the bit where the Doctor is having a final conversation with Lady Slovene, saying that if you don't lay off, I will stop you. And of course, then all kicks off because there's a nuclear strike been ordered, which the Doctor gets controls via Mickey. And of course, they all think they're going to die. Rose is given the option to not be involved in it because it's quite dangerous. And she finds that they're in a room that's like a solid metal thing, a bunker thing. So they decide to go and hide in a cupboard because that gives them a slight bit of extra protection. Which, of course, it works because they survived. The whole building was completely demolished. But the little steel box they were in survived. Just moving forward a little bit more. All the explosions going off. Quite good at special effects, actually. Quite impressed with that. And so some interesting debris around their box, actually, which I never did work out what it was. And Harriet then runs off into the street and sort of takes over. Now, the Doctor's been struggling to remember where he's heard her name before. Of course, he's heard her name in the future, isn't he? but doesn't know what she's going to do. Yeah. And so yeah,
the time traveler.
I think that's what the little pink TARDIS thing's for.
Oh.
Anyway, so finally, it gives because
Am
Mickey
I on the
helped
right podcast?
Because Mickey helped save the world. Finally,
no.
He gives him a little bit of respect. And offers him a place in the TARDIS, but he doesn't like travelling in TARDISes unless the Doctor looks a little bit like David Tennant, so he didn't go on this particular occasion.
I don't blame him, to be honest.
Of the story. Right then, so... it's okay, this story. I quite like the two-parter situation where we had a nice cliffhanger in the middle. It was a really good cliffhanger. I don't particularly like Slovene as aliens. I think first watching the farting jokes were okay. Slightly awkward, but okay. But obviously we've had Slovene in several stories and situations since then and find that it's not that funny, to be fair. Although, I must admit, while we were watching, Deb was chuckling away every time there was a farting noise. So, obviously, it depends what his sense of humour is like, I suppose. But it doesn't make me laugh. I don't understand why she finds it funny, because when I fart, she finds it really annoying. And I don't do it as often as Slovene.
It's because she can smell yours.
Hey, Mary. Nothing
hey,
but yeah, it's,
Mary.
It's okay. I prefer stories where they're not on Earth, to be fair, but... Yes, it's okay. Right, as you've just turned up, Kirsty, what did you think of this two-parter?
It's interesting. I thought I was going to hate it, but then I forgot about some of the things I really, really like Penelope Wilton.
Yes.
Just fantastic. I've got a bit of a crush on her, to be honest. She's just wrong in every aspect
yeah,
of it. But
yeah.
It started back with Ever Decreasing Circles, and maybe earlier back than that. Probably shouldn't dwell on that.
She's in Afterlife as well with Ricky Gervais.
Yes. That's one of the reasons why I'm like thinking of watching it. Because you're like, ooh. Mm. But yeah, just her mannerisms and that and everything, and just the fact that she just keeps pushing for it. It's like, doesn't care. It's like, oh yeah, aliens are here. It's like, oh, I want to talk about the cottage hospitals. She's not letting go of the cottage hospitals. That, I mean, you know. That's the person you wanted in charge. Until the Doctor ruined that, which was kind of weird, just because she blew up a spaceship. You blew up 10 Downing Street, mate. So, yeah.
Mickey
I think
blew
you're
up
even.
10 Downing Street.
Well, at the Doctor's command, so don't quibble with me.
Yes, ma'am.
There is no way that Mickey would have been able to hack that without the Doctor's assistance.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly what to do, so...
Sorry, have you come? I've come to the end. That's good.
No.
Oh,
I'm
you're still going. Sorry,
at this point.
There was a big pause. I thought you'd come to the end. I was closing windows now.
A quick draw of breath before I bite back into them.
So I'm just checking the football.
But yeah, it's actually a fun story, and I in the first season of Doctor Who coming back, it is a bit of a mixed bag. There's some stuff that I really don't like. I don't like the Doctor kind of constantly picking on Mickey. He only gets this bit of respect at the end for chickening out and doing it a good way. Mm. But still, that kind of like, oh, you don't even know your own name. I'm glad they made a payoff for that later on. But at this point, it sounds like he's just being a dick to Mickey a lot. And it just doesn't sit well with me, the Doctor being that much of a dick to somebody.
No.
That's what it always missed, I think, Doctor Who, is someone turning around at the Doctor and saying, stop being a dick!
Yes.
Yeah. Like, well, and we get that in this episode too, because we get Jackie holding up and whacking him one in the face.
Yes.
Just like he's a regular dude, because that's what would happen. So yeah, the little bits of reality and stuff, and there's some nice touches of stuff that, you know, the Doctor's sitting there trying to watch the news, and they're just getting on with their lives, because what else are you going to do? There's nothing that these people can do about it, so you just get on with your life, right? They're not going to call you down to investigate the UFO that crashed into the Thames, but it irks the Doctor, because he's stuck out of there, and so I find little bits of stuff like that
really kind of
cool, but then you get the farting aliens, but you got to do something for the kids, too, and that's like... You know, that's something they can do on the playground. I am the Slovene.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's not to love about that? I'm sorry, if I was on the playground and I was 10 years old, I'd be doing farting slithies. It's easier than doing
it.
You
would be farting if you followed through. Change the word farting for laughing, and it'll be funny.
It's all and giggles until somebody shits.
Do you mind? I had to bleep out the stuff from last week.
Anyway, but no,
There's a saying like that.
Yeah.
What, bleeping stuff
it
out?
Let's just say this: the main thing that would have improved this is if Christopher Eccleston hadn't been in it.
Sacrilege.
Just really not that. I mean, like I said, he's damn rude to Mickey. And
that's not his fault. That was what the script said.
Yeah.
But I watched the episode. I didn't watch him acting in it. I watched what's on the screen.
Okay.
That's what we're reviewing, right? What's on the screen?
He does offer to have him go with him at the end.
Yeah, the end. But that's a real change.
Of
the episode. It's just like, oh, you finally did. You're useful for something. Oh, fine, I'll bring you then. Not surprised Mickey's just like, sling it. You know, they have a spaceman. Anyway, yeah, that's me done. We'll see what Kirby thinks. whoever you pick next.
No, I'm going to go for Ben. What do you reckon, Ben?
Many people do so. let me just refer to my notes.
Notes?
Yeah, I have my notes here. Because I take this seriously. This isn't something that I just rock up into my shed on a Sunday night, put football on, do stuff on my laptop and listen to you lot talk about a programme I haven't watched. It's not that.
You have watched it at some point, though.
Yes, of course I have. Yes. I jest.
You just what?
I jest. Carry on talking. Penelope Wilson indeed was brilliant. A highlight of the episode. A true dame of the British stage and screen. Penelope, dearest, I fear this is some of her best work. And I'm glad she comes back in the future as the Prime Minister. Oh, turning the Prime Minister. As Prime Minister. I've got no bloody idea what's going on.
Wear a face mask. Go wear a face mask.
The Slitheen are utter rubbish. Oh, this is my notes, all right? These are my bullet points. Yeah. PW, brilliant. Slitheen, rubbish. Very childish. Yeah. Another one which I'll come back to. Not the best. Very childish. So I think my overall opinion of this one is it was really very childish. I do get what Kirsty just said, that you've got to put something in there for the kids, but I think you've got to stop it when it gets to like aiming for 5-year-olds. I just think it takes away from family entertainment. I didn't find the farting particularly amusing. And what I felt was the most disappointing thing about the entire, I didn't mind the episodes. They were all right. I say not the best, but the thing that I was utterly gutted about is the fact that there was the mentions of Torchwood, the Institute, again.
Was that?
And this would have been the perfect opportunity for the second showing of Eve Miles's character in Doctor Who. But unfortunately, Eve Miles didn't turn up in this one, so it wasn't very good.
One of her colleagues did, though.
Yes, but it wasn't Eve Miles, so it's no good.
And we've got another one of her colleagues coming up very soon.
Are they Eve Miles?
No, they're
my point
JB.
Continues.
Future Sir John Barrowman.
Sir John Barrowman.
Chelsea have scored.
Yes, they have. Oh. I could have told you that. Anyway, so yeah, it was all right. I say not the best of the season, but
series.
Yeah, very good, sir. it did the job. Oh, that's quite a good goal. Is that Kai Havertz who's just scored?
I don't know. I wasn't
looking.
Well,
no, Mason Mount.
He's still a
show. Anyway, yeah, so that's me done. So someone else talk.
Yes, thank you. And Kirby.
Go
yes,
on,
that's
Kirby.
You, Kirby. Kirby, not Debbie. She's not here. Kirby.
I've...
Speak now, Kirby.
Kirby, speak up. Come on. Don't be bashful.
Just allow him to get his notes. He's just digging out his notes.
Oh, he's got notes now? Has everybody got notes? I didn't know it was a
notes. I don't think notes.
Everybody, no, you need spreadsheets. The floor for Kirby Bartlett.
I actually do.
He's about to speak. Any
I actually
moment.
Do come down into
Wait
the basement.
Wait for Kirby to start because he will be important and his words will be entertaining. Kirby.
Yes, they will. Go on, Kirby.
Yes, Kirby. You may begin.
Start now, Kirby.
Any time now.
Are you ready now, Kirby?
I actually do come down
Kirby,
into the basement
the
with very little
yours.
Preparation nowadays. The main thing, the main prep I'm doing now is listening to when we talked about it, whatever it was, 9 years ago.
Was that to make sure you don't say the same thing again?
No, to make sure I do say the same thing.
Yes, but so does that mean you never change?
No.
That's evident, isn't it?
Yes, actually, I have changed.
No, I was just thinking, again, when you said about...
all these episodes, let me know what I said. Let me know what it was via an email, and then I can just read it out and I won't have to think.
Well, when you said about preparation, Kirby, I was thinking when we were talking about farting that maybe the Savlin needed a bit of preparation on certain parts of their body. But carry on, nevertheless.
I haven't been able to say anything yet.
Well, go on, then.
Come on, what have you been waiting for, man? I mean,
it's not as though anyone's interrupting you or anything.
It's a podcast. You're supposed to speak.
Woof, woof.
Someone a dog? Someone brought a dog in. I just heard woofing.
Anyway, that was funny. 9 years ago, we were doing a lot of reactions to magic ear flapping.
Oh, bless him.
So, yeah. Anyway,
a lot of sleeping. Now.
I've gone through three phases with Aliens of London World War III. First of all, when I first saw it, I was just so excited that I was watching Doctor Who again. I was liking it. I didn't really have an opinion one way or the other about the farting aliens because it was just all new. And I was, yeah, that was kind of strange, but it was Doctor Who and there was better monsters than I'd seen in classic Who, in many cases. So, first couple of times I saw it, I was fine with it. Mm-hmm. Then I went through a phase where I really hated Aliens of London World War III because of the Savine and the farting. And so it's been several years since I've seen it, and I like it again. The establishment of the of that... It's just a way of showing mainly the kids that which ones are the baddies and they happen to have flatulence. I have more trouble with the fact that they can skin a human and it looks nice and rubbery and where's the rest of the body of the skin was
now,
on.
Bearing in mind you're trying to say this was for kids, I don't think it would have been a very good thing to have lots of disgusting, scary flesh. Of course, the kids these days wouldn't bat an eyelid over it.
So anyway, I watched it again last night and really enjoyed it. I did not watch it with Fred for a change because she didn't want to watch it because she's tired of Slitheen.
It's
the farting.
So she'll probably join me for Dalek next week.
Okay.
But she just was not looking forward to watching this one, so she skipped. But overall, it's part of this great first series of.
All right.
I'm almost done.
All right.
Part of this great new series of Doctor Who, with the only actor who could have really brought it back, no matter what Kirsty says.
Yeah.
If I don't think that Eccleston is part of why it survived.
I still think Paul McGann could have brought it back myself.
I agree, but that's not what happened.
No.
So
you said he was the only actor that could have brought it back. Well, I think that if Paul McGann had been cast,
he's the only actor. He is the actor who did it successfully.
I misheard you. Sorry.
Paul McGann is not as quirky and upbeat as Eccleston is in this.
Okay.
He's more serious and more given to long, vocal explanations of things. I think that Eccleston kind of brings a weirdness to this. You know, he's really alien.
Okay. I'm wrong. It doesn't happen very often. But there you go. Cherish it.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Are you done?
Okay, I'm done.
Right then, everybody. I slightly preempted by accidentally hitting the jingle button slightly early, but here's Mary.
Well, I have to say that, like Fred, I did not really want to watch this again because me too. I felt like, oh, I just don't want to watch a Slovene episode. But what I try to do every time I approach these stories is I try to get in the mindset of where was I when I first saw it, mm-hmm. And how would other people react to this, seeing it for the first time? Because I did not remember enjoying it the first time, but I thought, okay, you know, but I want to try to be there as if I've never seen it and see how it impresses me. Right. And the funny thing is I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my gosh.
I might be sick of the Slovenes from their ongoing stories, but trying to see them as brand new in this one, I think really helped.
Okay.
And people make a lot of disparaging comments about the farting and all that. And I'm sorry Deb isn't on today, because I thought of a little film that she put out on Facebook a few years ago of Isla. Oh, yeah. Who was going through a whole vocabulary of different kinds of farts that she thought that was so hilarious, and Debbie laughing along with her, and I'm thinking I was something like 6 or 7 years old when Debbie did this, so I'm thinking, yeah, you know, there's this whole element of kids, and Doctor Who at the core of it is a kids show. I think that it probably did have a great reaction with the kids. And yes, I can see on playgrounds across the country, you know, kids being Slovenes and having a great time with it. So I try to see the Slovenes that way. And they are they're an interesting alien in that they are very clever. And the fact that they have been in the population for at least a year or longer, you know, makes you realize that, yeah, you know, we could have aliens among us now that we're not aware of. Trying to see this as new, even with the characters of Rose and her mom and Mickey and that, you know, we really are just still getting to know them. So the doctor's negativity towards Mickey seems perfectly appropriate, because Mickey was kind of a doofus in the first episode that he was in. But he does redeem himself and wins over the doctor and gets offered a place on the TARDIS, which he doesn't want to take. So I saw that as character growth. The only problem that I had is that when they do come to the cliffhanger at the end of the first episode, and again, trying to approach this with the idea that I don't know these characters very well at all, with all of them under threat like they were at the end of that of the first episode, you don't know who's going to survive and who isn't. But then they spoil it for you because they show you the coming attractions for the next episode, in which they're all running around perfectly fine. And I think, well, what good is the cliffhanger when you can already see that they're going to be okay? So I think that kind of... Do what?
That's a very good point.
Yeah, well, so yeah, I think that spoils what I thought was a really good cliffhanger. This story had a lot of threads in it, and that's when I do enjoy a show, when it's well written like that, when you've got more than one set of people involved in an event, and it's from their different perspectives. Rose's mom being upset about her being gone, and so you understand how worried she is that the doctor keeps her safe in the future. It's all, you know, it's great character work, and it's an interesting storyline, you know, and I won't name all the storylines, but I mean, I just found it interesting the interweaving of all these different stories that concluded in the best way possible the destruction of 10 Downing Street. Overall, I have to confess that I did enjoy it more, I think, this time than I did the first time I saw it. So there you are. Sorry to let you down. Don't have much criticism except for the except for the coming attractions.
Just a bit, just a bit surprised. Master? Yes.
I was waiting for her to finish. I do have a little bit of information about what happened, because there was a lot of complaints from
viewers
who were spoiled like that. That is the last time they just went straight from the story to the coming attractions. From that point on, they would put the credits in.
Yes. So good.
Okay.
That would give people a chance to not be spoiled, because a lot of people had that opinion. Same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting to learn. Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, at the end of that episode, it's like, wow, you know, we don't know enough about these characters yet to know who might or might not. You know, there's always those indispensable characters that you know are always going to survive. But
like
we didn't know.
Yeah, we have, obviously the Doctor's going to survive, but we just don't know how. That was the cliffhanger
for me. Doctor and Rose probably, but, I mean, her mom, Mickey, you know, are they going to survive? We don't know.
Mm. Anyway.
By the way, I need to correct something I said earlier.
Oh, bother me.
I got my first flat-screen TV on January 20th.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That was really worth waiting for.
I'm so relieved.
God.
Oh, man, I'm going
to
sleep.
I just had to correct that, because I was thinking, no, couldn't have been.
You misled. You lied.
Oh,
yeah, man. We're never going to believe another thing you ever say again.
Yes.
Robert Vance Jr. says, hi, everyone. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I didn't know Super Bowl was today. It's probably
called it. It is. Today's a Super Bowl.
Are you watching it, Ben?
Can't they sue you for saying Super Bowl? Is it the big game?
That's the big game.
Are you watching it, Ben?
No. That was last night when Man United played Everton.
And then he says, next week will be better, hopefully, Mary.
Yeah, I'm trusting it will be.
Oh, all right, wow. Then. I'm so looking forward to next week where we go into the past.
Oh, is it the Super Bowl replay next week? No, we're not talking about something
else. No, Dalek.
Right then.
No,
okay, so it's now time for feedback. And Kirby's little bit where he requested feedback on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
Let me take it away, Mr.
Bartlett Sloan.
Let me refresh so that I have the...
You mean you're not ready?
Greatest. Okay, Richie Williams.
You're not fresh?
Oh, jeez.
Richie Williams says, Harriet Jones, Prime Minister, doesn't she look tired? And I remind him, I say, excuse me, this is Harriet Jones, MP, Flydell North. She's not Prime Minister yet.
She's not tired.
Ah.
And Richie Williams says, small details, I doubt this will be for too arsed. Former Prime Minister, too. Robert Wince Jr., but yes, we will know who she is.
Hmm.
Robert Wince Jr., review of Ends of London World War III. Well, not one of my favorite stories. RTD kind of made it like one big fart joke that goes on and on and on. I'm not a fan of the Slovene. The TARDIS is off by 12 months, and people were thinking Mickey had something to do with Rose's disappearing.
I like that bit.
Glad that worked itself out. Felt like a Torchwood story. The girl who works in the morgue goes on to play in Torchwood later.
Yeah.
Really?
Very good, Kirby.
This story is all...
smiles.
Oh, you know, she was in Torchwood. This story is all sleight of hand. While you're watching the pig astronaut crash land, never mind what the Slovene are doing. Later on, Harriet Jones becomes Prime Minister later on. Department of Redundancy Department there. I never thought Mickey was that smart to override unit's code to launch his rocket at 10 Downing Street. Well, he didn't.
Exactly.
The Doctor did. Also, is that true about the cabinet room breaking away? Kirby, we need to know. It's funny, the bluff of the brandy is a weapon. All in all, an average story, 3 out of 5.
I'd say that's about right. Oh, God, not the blimmin' jelly babies.
I posted a picture showing the jelly babies.
That works well on an audio presentation. Carry on.
Well, I'm still saying. Neil James. Aliens of London, World War III. After 3 very strong stories, here we have a drop in quality. The first two-parter of the revived series gets plenty of criticism, and a lot of it is justified, but it's certainly not all bad. In fact, the good stuff is really good. I love the spaceship's erratic descent over London before crashing into the Thames. Eccleston's joy at seeing it is wonderful. The use of the media to help tell the story works well and will go on to be used many times in the series. The music is great, and Camille Corduri acts her socks off in the scenes of Rose's year-late return. The problem is the tone. The farting Slovene are very silly. Harriet Jones is pretty silly. And Mickey running into a wall is ridiculous. I actually don't mind the pig, though. It's really freaky. True, true. The Slovene work much better when they're in the massive suits. The CGI ones just look dodgy.
Yes.
Also, the BBC ruined the first new Doctor Who cliffhanger for over 15 years by immediately showing a preview of the next episode.
Somebody mentioned that.
Characters we just saw in danger, running around, doing fine. WTF. Yes. And deja vu.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good point. I just wish someone had mentioned it before.
Annoyingly.
I'm surprised Mary didn't, actually.
Yeah, she's pedantic.
Yeah, you're usually quite sharp on that sort of stuff, Mary, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Annoyingly, the Doctor and Rose spend over 25 minutes of the second episode locked in that sealed cabinet room, but I do like the "I could save the world but lose you" moment. The Doc and Rose's relationship takes an interesting turn as he basically seduces her into leaving her mom behind at the end in the eight-minute wrap-up.
Yeah.
But let's end on a high. This exchange always makes me laugh. Doctor, Mickey, have you got any vinegar? Mickey, how should I know? Doctor, it's your kitchen. And you notice that, as an aside here, Rose knew what was in his kitchen.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
well,
anyway.
She's a woman.
To sum up, all over the place but always entertaining. 3 stars out of 5.
Excellent. We don't need the next bit, but thank you very much.
Ian Kirk's.
Yes.
Master.
Oh, yes.
Ian has been sending in his things for a long, long time.
Oh, yes.
He missed sending in anything 9 years ago, and we actually noticed.
Oh. Well, he sent something in this year, but we won't do that just yet because we've got to move on to other mediums of feedback, because Robert...
No, I think the seance was last week.
Shut up. I think Robert sent something in via the 20 Megawatt group page. Volunteers? Nobody? Fine, that's great.
What?
Somebody's going to volunteer, or I'll be volunteering them.
I wasn't paying attention to you.
So that came to me.
Oh, sorry. That's me?
No. Robert Ains via the 20 Megawatt group page. Kirby?
I'm trying to bring it up.
I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
I don't make that joke anymore. I've had complaints.
I've had complaints from Mary Whitehouse.
This isn't the Super Bowl. This is like the World Series final. You're just tossing them up.
Go on then, Robert Haynes, in your best Australian accent. Go on then, Kirby.
And I don't make that joke because I'm respecting you, Mary.
What joke?
You haven't respected me for years.
Hey!
No, seriously, I realized that particular joke was not that great, so I stopped doing it.
Well, yeah, I did it, and I didn't mean... Sorry, Mary. Mary.
Yeah, Robert still does it.
Mary.
And obviously whoever just said it.
That was me, and I didn't do it properly. I just did a bit of... It was a bit of a...
properly.
And Ben covered it over with a... That's what she said. So carry on, Kirby.
Robert says,
so here's my feedback. I'm still enjoying this trip back in time for the first series of New Who. However, when I knew we were coming to the farting alien story, I approached it with trepidation. That aside, I didn't mind things so much. I quite liked the line, "Would you please not mind farting while I'm trying to save the world?" Some of the CGI is good. The spaceship's crash landing. See? Some is showing its age, though. The human suits coming off to show the alien underneath, as well as the plain-looking textures when we see the Slovene running in a number of shots. That's what's wrong with the CGI ones.
What?
They've got plain tech. The texture is different of their skin.
It's cartoony.
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. So, Robert, good, Robert.
Good, Robert. Okay. Good, Robert. Well done.
They also overdid the zipper shots, too, watching them back to back. Yeah, there were too many zipper shots.
There were far too many zipper shots.
I agree. There were too many zipper shots, yeah.
I kept saying
there were too many shots, including zips, because there's no such word in this country as zipper.
Ooh.
Ooh. A pretty basic plot that quite comes across as a bit of a romp in the end. No harm in that. Something that grated on me was the doctor constantly calling Mickey Ricky or Mickey the Idiot.
Yeah.
I don't think that Mickey deserved that. Unlike the Valyard, who got called all sorts of names by the doctor. But then he's an enemy.
Yeah.
At least he and the doctor are getting on better now. Really looking forward to Dalek.
Can I just say, anyone's... oh, no, hold on. I'm thinking of a different episode.
One thing that I kept looking
over there entertaining himself.
Yeah.
Having a good time.
It's happened when you half listen, mate.
Since this story is before they started filming in HD, I could not see the zipper pulls closely enough to see if they were manufactured by the company I work for.
Oh, gold.
I also paused it on that for you, Kirby.
Uh-huh.
Just to check.
So where are we up to now? Oh, are you still in the middle of this particular piece?
No, I've finished.
Have you?
That's what she said.
But a lot quicker.
Right then.
Well, I found the Messenger app on my PC, so it makes it easier to bring the entire... all these things up so they're not in this one long, narrow strip to read. It's a lot easier.
Yes, thank you for that, Kirby.
It's easier.
Right then. So we should therefore move on to this.
Hello, Changing Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, Ian.
Well, I found my DVDs of Season 1, so I don't have to watch those adverts anymore. Aliens of London, World War III, by Russell T. Davies. Russell T. Davies is from a soap opera writing background, so we have domestic scenes with a companion and family.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, starting a war over false claims of weapons of destruction was in the news at the time.
It was.
There was a scene of three Slitheen running through a panelled room, and they used that twice.
Yep.
You think Boris Johnson has a zip on his forehead?
He may well do.
The doctor killed the Slitheen, although he didn't have much choice. Bye for now.
There you go, Kirby. He's provided us with one. Yes?
Master?
Yes?
There's a scene. Actually, they just kind of changed the CGI slightly. There's one scene, CGI, of the Slitheen running, where there's one Slitheen, and then there's another one with three Slitheen.
Thank you for that. Alan T. Butcher says, the thing about the cabinet room metal box is, I think, broadly true. The IRA fired missiles at number 10 in 1991, which is why this was installed. There you go.
Yeah, okay. When John Major was in power.
Quite possibly so. Right then. So, Kirsty.
Yes.
I've given you plenty of time to digest Linda and Terry Miles's the blurb. So please read it out in your best Linda and Terry Miles voice.
All right. I will channel Linda and Terry Miles. Aliens of London, World War III, a two-parter.
A two-parter.
I thought Terry was in the room.
Thank you. I should have said a two-farter.
So that's how it's done, Kirby.
thank you. I'm only here for the dings. 12 hours, 12 months. Jackie's being so picky. You're the doctor, stitch this. Isn't Jackie wonderful? I bet every chap in the world would want her for a mother-in-law. I know I would. Hello, Jackie. Anyway, sitting on top, that wasn't, they didn't say that, that was me. saying there. Anyway, back to London Terror. Sitting on top of a block of
flats. They do write like they're talking, don't they? It's incredible.
They do, yeah. Sitting on top of a block of flats in an estate of blocks all the same height, it seems strange that the other blocks are taller. And plus, very, very fake sky in the background. It became very apparent. Anyway.
Before, can I interrupt there? Because that's what, while we were watching that scene, you know, when they were on the roof, and like I said about, Deb was saying, it's very green screen, isn't it? It was quite a technical statement from Deb, but if she could spot it, then there you go.
I don't remember seeing it the first time round, but now it's just like, ooh. But that's TV for you there.
Can I just say, I'm really enjoying this, because this is like, I know you're reading it like some sort of demented, I don't mean that in a rude way, a children's TV presenter. It's coming across, I don't mean that in a rude way at all.
The vibe I'm going for.
It's working.
It's working for me. Anyway, back to this. Yes. As to the flight path of the alien craft, here's one I prepared earlier. I'm sorry, Linda and Terry. I really am.
I'm not.
He's not. Anyway, as for the flight path of the alien craft, how many times did it go around on London to end up ditching in about 40 foot of water? And that's if the tide was high. Also, it crashed into a backwards-ass
we spoke
Ben.
About that, yes.
Yeah, well, I figured somebody would bring it up.
It was me.
Oh, you brought it up. Yep. That does surprise me. Well, that you were actually allowed to talk.
Excuse me.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
This is a very short review, but it's taking me forever. The augmented pig was a great idea. I bought one that's with the 5-inch figures. To scale with the 5-inch figures. Sorry.
Probably worth a fortune now.
Really? Wow. Is that little pig? The Slitheen stealing bodies of the dead sounds much too like the Gelf in Rose. Admittedly, only the skin this time, but still. As for the outgassing from the compression fields, well, it's supposed to be a children's television program meant to inform and entertain. Of course, all the Brits find farting whilst I'm talking funny. The conclusion of dropping a Tomahawk missile on 10 Downing Street may be to some people's taste, but I would not recommend it, as the collateral damage would be horrendous and life as well as the property. That always struck me. It's like the guy runs out, looks up, goes, "Everybody run!" I'm like, isn't it that kind of thing where if you've seen it, it's too late?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, a missile. Nah. You're not running anywhere. And anyway, on to the review. Oh, look, Bad Wolf again. Wonder if that means anything. We are looking forward to the next story, but have no idea who the big baddie is. Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles. And that's all from us.
Yes, well done. All right, thank you.
Over to you, Adam.
No, what you should have done there, you missed out on the possibility of a really good link then, which would have bypassed me. You should have said, over to you, Mary, for the feedback from Alan T. Butcher.
Over to you, Mary. With
at the Alan T. Butcher desk.
Yes.
At the Alan T. Butcher news desk.
And I have to say the wicked Alan T. Butcher, because he has decided twice to throw in a very hard to pronounce word.
Well, Raxacoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoricoric
That's what it is.
So, Alan, keep what she says. Raxacoricofallopitorius is a very long word. How do you spell Raxacoricofallopitorius or the winds of war? Please don't eat the pickled onions. Dear 20 megabiters, Aliens of London, World War III is, of course, a closely studied illustration of a political loss of innocence by revelation of uncomfortable facts and the credulity that many will fall into in order to reestablish their outlook in the face of the truth. The alien invasion revealed to the world is, however, a falsification itself as an indication of the levels of deception which exist and perhaps oxygenate even more off-the-wall conspiracy theories. The Slovene themselves represent the sort of ruthless corporate interests which are shown achieving control in a nominal democracy, which is reduced to just one junior representative remaining. Harriet Jones does, however, represent the potential for even a weakened polity to fight back, but the resolution of the story is realistic about the amount of damage that fight back may entail. It should be noted that though some criticize the slithering flatulence featured in this story, none of those critics have managed to accomplish the disguising of a large creature in the skin pelt of a human without such side effects, so what do they know? We also learn that the Brigadier was deceiving us about UNIT being a United Nations organization, so when he said he was off in Geneva, he may well have been having a weekend break in Brighton with Doris, who later became his wife. We still don't know what happened to Fiona, if there was a Fiona. The Brigadier's life is confusing. All in all, Aliens of London, World War III is a curate's egg of a story, which mixes the vicious with the comic in perhaps not the most successful way in the history of the show. Once again, the Doctor is not enormously successful in this story, and the resolution is both destructive with huge probable collateral damage, and it is a bit of a reach in having Mickey's sudden capacity to hack into government weapon systems be so vital. This does seem like most clunky of plot points involving computers, since the mention of a megabyte modem by Pip and Jane Baker. Harriet's is a strong character, and let us hope her three terms in office as Prime Minister are not fecklessly thrown aside by the writers for a minor plot convenience within the year. It will be. The story does rattle along at a good pace, and though some aspects grate a little, nothing really spoils what is an entertaining and new variation on the alien invasion genre, and at least Raxacoricofallopatorius is easy to say. This story is perhaps one episode too long, as who would not have liked to see the Dalek turn up earlier and be a part of an even more developed story than what we are about to get. Next up, Doctor Who and the Last Dalek, or Honest, There Are No More Daleks. This is The Last Survivor. No, really. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, thank you, Alan.
Slinky nose.
Well done, Mary.
Oh, I think I know Raxacoricofallopatorius, whatever that is.
Raxacoricofallopatorius.
If I can't look at it, I can't say it.
You don't have to copy what I say, Kirby, honestly. All right, then.
You don't have to repeat what I say, honestly.
I was so enthralled in that, I forgot to get up the next page. Which
I was
is
so
Doctor
enthralled
Who.
In that, I forgot.
Doctor Who
the
news.
Interesting thing about the Slitheen, I find, too, and the reveal on this is that, you know, we're so used to the alien invasion, and it's like they really kind of play on that, and it's and he's like, oh, they're Slitheen. It's like, no, that's just our family name.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you thought that was the name of our crew, you know, what we were? No. And I just like that whole flipping it on its end. It's like, and, you know, it kind of, you know, it works on all sorts of levels.
It's almost like the mafia, aren't they, I suppose?
One thing about the whole being able to pronounce Raxacoricofallopatorius is that for a long time I couldn't, and it was the geek daughter who immediately latched onto it and was she was so proud of being able to say it all the time. Now she wants nothing to do with Doctor Who whatsoever.
Yeah. How about Romana Dravatnalunda? Exactly. I can say it when I was saying it a lot. Romana Dravatnalunda. There we go. I said it then.
Alan, Adam, are you still on Facebook?
I should be, yeah. So has somebody said something?
Well, it's just that when I went back to it, it looks like it's done.
Did you have a false start at the beginning?
Yeah, there was a false start. That one's still on there. I haven't deleted it yet. No, the main one is still running. Yes, I'm still there. Hello, me. Doctor Who news. Target book special from the Doctor Who magazine, issue 561, which you can buy from whoone.co.uk and get delivered to you.
Is it whoone.co.uk?
If you live outside.
Co.uk.
Yes, and it's got lots of interesting things, including says interviews with some of the authors for upcoming Target novelizations. Friend of the show, Robert Sherman, and Joy Wilkinson and Mark Gatiss. Celebration of classic Target books. target collectors discuss their hobbies, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, get it, it's just really good, actually. It's got a, a special gift and stuff with it. It's worth getting if you like your target stuff. Directed by Douglas Camfield, a book from Phantom Publishing Books at the life of Doctor Who director Douglas Camfield. Do an audiobook, I might buy that. And then we're back to the Script Doctor feature that we talked about last week. Now, something there reminded me of something I was going to say, but I've forgotten it again. Oh, well, never mind. Yeah, oh, yeah, we're going to go to Who Won, weren't we? Because I forgot last week, because Ben didn't remind me. Who Won?
Ah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
No.
UK. Right, what we've got coming up?
If I'm not paid, then I might take it more seriously.
The DVD, that's novel, isn't it? That's not a novel, it's novel, oh, never mind. Of Revolution of the Daleks. Now, you may be, so I don't want any spoilers, but you may be surprised to find that there are Daleks in that particular story. There's also a disc with the picture of Lala Ward on it. The Kairos Ring, it says Beyond the Doctor. So that's the Kairos Ring CD from Big Finish. Looks quite interesting. Time Lord Victorious Genetics of the Daleks. I wonder if there's any Daleks in that story. Featuring the Fourth Doctor in a Big Finish story. And these are all to buy now. Wicked Sisters. There's a few. There's also a Fifth Doctor in that cover. Ooh, that looks quite good. And Rhys and Yanto's Excellent Barbecue, which I presume is a sort of play on Bill and Ted, is also available at whoon.co.uk to buy as a hard copy.
UK?
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Surely a play on Bill and Ted would be called Bill and Ted the Play.
Fourth Doctor 10.1.
Don't encourage him.
He doesn't need any encouragement. He will do it anyway. Fourth Doctor 10.1 Volume 1. Some more new Fourth Doctor stories on Big Finish, because it's Volume 1, Volume 2, all coming very soon. Colony of Fear featuring the Sixth Doctor. The Crimson Horror novel by Mark Gatiss. The Dalek
space.
Novel by friend of the show Robert Shearman, who Ben interviewed on stage last year at FantasyCon.
Was it the year before last? What you've got to think, whenever you say anything,
from
you
last
just have
year,
to think that last year didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because nothing happened last
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
Because I was sitting there thinking, oh, it's only last year, but it wasn't. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't
Mental.
I actually went to...
Nothing.
1 year ago, this weekend, I was actually at a convention.
Yeah.
Because it was before lockdown.
Yep. Lavazzi.co.uk have a large range of Doctor Who potential cosplay items. My favourite, of course, being the Fourth Doctor's scarf, an item I wear daily, especially now when it's absolutely freezing cold here in the United Kingdom. But they do have some items that are on sale, like the Tomb of the Cybermen scarf, which is currently at $19.99. I'll rephrase that. They have an item that's on sale. There's probably more, actually, on their sale. I'll get myself prepared a bit better. The Doctor Who customizable shoulder bag with pins is normally $89.99. It's currently $69.99. And the Fifth Doctor Peter Davison cricket sweater, normally $49.99. Now, $29.99. Ideal if you want to play cricket in the summer, buy it now, get it cheaper. So there you go. And of course their blog and their sort of platform for fan fiction is also there for everyone to see. And iwheroes.co.uk have just been delivered a humongous range of new Funko Pops, including WandaVision, which segues me into how wonderful WandaVision is and how It's drumming up so much interest in... Oh, wow. I was just going to say something.
Well, it seemed like you were disappointed with the most recent
episode. It was superb. What are you about? I was disappointed. What are you about?
Oh, maybe I misinterpreted what you said online.
Bit appalled by that. No, it's wonderful. It's superb episode.
Yes, it was.
And
was it wonderful?
Oh, God. Right. Right, where did we get
No.
Lillian Robin says, and the Doctor specifically says in the story that it was put in Dowling Street in 1991. So there you go, Alan. Yeah, so it segues on to stuff that I've been watching other than Doctor Who recently. WandaVision, we've all been loving. Of course, it's the latest episode was particularly interesting, shall we say. I'm not going to say what happened in it.
Oh, I see how I misinterpreted. I'm sorry.
Huh? Oh, because I had the wow icon.
The emoticon you used.
I didn't understand
what it was.
Anyway. Okay, The Dig. There's a film on Netflix called The Dig, which is nothing sci-fi-ish, but it's just a very good film. There's just something come up today on Netflix called Lego House, which I do intend to watch. But the best thing I've seen this week on television is the magnificent It's a Sin.
Devin.
I don't know who the writer is. I don't know if you've heard of him. Russell T. something or other. Russell T. I'll have to Google it. It's Russell T. something or other. Anyway. Absolutely magnificent series.
Russell T. Time.
Is it Time? Russell T. Time. Yeah. That sounds about
or
right.
Or is it Russell T. Space?
See, that actually works on a couple of levels, doesn't
Hang on.
It? Because, like, T. Time, as in...
That's it. Russell T. Time, yeah.
Or T. Time, as in he's related to the Doctor Who franchise, yeah. Which is about time. So yeah. Russell T.
And...
See, the jokes don't work.
And funny you should say about Doctor Who, there's a scene in Episode 4 where they're behind the scenes of an episode of Doctor Who. But it's not...
What episode?
just said Episode 4. It might have been Episode 3, but I think it's Episode 4, funny enough. But yeah, it's just a backdrop scene that he... I don't know how they got the right to have the certain iconic Doctor Who characters in it, because that was very unusual in itself. But no, it's a sin. If it comes your way and you can actually get to watch it, it's absolutely astonishingly good.
I just used Just Watch. It says not available on your streaming service.
Oh dear, how sad. Never mind. But I'm sure it will be at some point. It's brilliant, and Stephen Fry has a cameo role in it. It's absolutely superb. Yes, Keely Hawes, great acting. They're just all round wonderful production. The Isle of Wight is nothing like the Isle of Wight, by the way. It looks a little bit like South Wales, because it is. But it's nice that the Isle of Wight gets...
But London and South Wales a lot of the time as well, mate.
That's true. So watch that one if you get a chance. So I've watched a few other bits and bobs on... Superstore apparently is very good. I've only got to episode 4, but the girls absolutely love it, so I'm sure I'll probably get into that a bit better.
Is the purple dinosaur still in it? Oh, sorry, that was Saturday Superstore.
You're on form today, Ben. Star Trek, the original series.
Shame, isn't it?
That's quite good.
Is that a compliment coming from you, though?
I'm trying to see what I've been watching, so I can say...
I'll tell you what I've been watching while you're looking, then.
The football.
Well, a lot of football. But I did watch, and I think it was Kirsty last week who said that the new Richard Hammond and... Tory Blokey that's a better program. I watched all 6 episodes in 2 days. I thought it was incredibly entertaining. It was stupid, I'll give you that, but it was really entertaining. And I managed to just say all 6 episodes in 2 nights, which was in between the football. So
what's
that
called again?
What, the program?
Yeah,
it's called Richard Hammond and Tory. Oh no, it's Escape Artists. I was trying to think of a funny title, but then I thought of the real one. So, yes, Escape Artists, I think it's called. But it's on Amazon. It's really cool. And just one other thing I'd like to point in this podcast is that on Thursday, as Adam knows, because he sent me many congratulations, it was my birthday. Thank you very much, everybody.
Once again, happy birthday, Ben.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks very much. Thank you. And for my birthday, on the 12th of December, I ordered the new Foo Fighters album, which came out on the 5th of February, the day after my birthday. And I ordered it on a lovely purple vinyl and a T-shirt with some X's on it, as in the size label.
Yes.
Now, when it came through, not on Friday, the release day, which was very disappointing, on Saturday, the T-shirt had not as many X's on as it should have done. Not as many as it's going to need, because I've lost loads of weight, because I've stopped eating everything. I mean, I literally eat bananas and eggs and cereal, and that's it now. And it turned up, and not only did it not have my X's on the T-shirt, which means it would fit nicely, but also my vinyl, which should be 12 inches big, turned up in a little 5-inch package, very much like a CD, that wasn't purple. So I'm very disappointed with Mr. Dave Grohl, because I'm sure he sent it out. And the reason I mention that is because he once watched Doctor Who. Yes.
There we go. Well done, Ben.
Master?
What?
It's called The Great Escapist.
Oh,
in this country, it's available on Amazon Prime.
Thank you. Well, Alan T. Butcher
in this
has...
country, it's available on Amazon Prime.
Alan T. Butcher has managed to correct us, so Russell T.'s name is Russell T. Butcher. So thank you, Alan, for correcting us on that one. Robert Vence Jr. says, I enjoyed WandaVision missing a Michael J. Fox lookalike and Wanda being Wanda-like in Endgame. There you go. Right, so next week...
Things that I've been watching.
Oh, just a minute. We'll go to you later. I'm just going to say to everybody that next, in case I might forget to say, next week we're having a week off for Valentine's Day because I'm going to spend the evening with my lovely wife watching films and stuff.
Also, so, there's a joke there, but I'm not going to say it.
Don't be rude. So that, we're right on next week. So you've got 2 weeks to digest Dalek. And now Kirby is going to say what he's been watching.
Oh, good. That means that I can really get deep into the esoteric stuff with Dalek. Well, the main thing I watched was, of course, WandaVision. And it's really, really good.
Yes, it is.
The other thing that I wanted to point out was not something I watched, but something that I participated in on a different podcast.
Yes. La, la,
on
la,
a
la,
different
la.
Podcast, I went up to the Earth Station 1 in orbit again and spoke with them about the sequel to the book Ready Player One, Ready Player Two.
What an imaginative title.
Yes. So I posted a link to the podcast in the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
Thank you, Kirby. Yes.
And it's... You can listen to a bunch of us describe what we liked and didn't like about it. And I'm not sure I'm looking forward to the movie when it happens.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Yep. Well, unless anybody's got anything else to say or recommend to put for our viewers to watch while in lockdown, or if you're in the Isle of Man, out and about doing normal stuff. 2 weeks' time for Dalek.
Are there no men on the Isle of Wight?
Dalek.
It would be an Isle of
Dalek. Dalek. What did you say?
I said, are there no men on the Isle of Wight?
That Adam lives there, so that gives you a clue.
Is that a joke? Oh, sorry.
Well, it didn't work the second time around. Because
it didn't work the first time around.
Sorry, what?
Alan T. Butcher says, so the story was that Ben thought it was 12 inches, but it was actually 5 inches. Is that...
That's not what she said. She said 3 inches.
So join us next week when we work out who's going to be
not
on the podcast.
That,
not next week.
Yeah, well done.
You've just spent the last 10 minutes telling us we're not here.
That's
next
why
week.
I said it.
Which is
put myself,
to me.
So I wouldn't fall into that trap. So next time, in 2 weeks' time, we can play the who's going to be on the show this week game. Until then, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Jigglypuff.
Excellent.
At least I managed to stop the live feed at the right time this week and not include all the bits that were on it last week that people were talking about.
Yeah, ooh, but you should have said the bonus bits for the watchers.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm still recording, but not video.
You should put this little bit after the podcast out as an extra podcast bit, like as an extra podcast.
You mean Easter eggs?
Like on Doctor Who.
Confidential.
Yeah, this could be like the confidential bit where we were allowed to swear and say words like bum.
There will be some swearing and words like bum if Deb comes in and finds that I'm still recording. I will explain to her that we are reviewing a two-part story this week. That's a very thin excuse. But
Kirby's on it.
I'm duty-bound to go and watch a slightly delayed version of Dancing on Ice.
I get out of watching that by doing a podcast.
Isn't it amazing how John Barrowman's hair became so white in only 15 years?
Dearie me, that's a bit harsh. Poor old Bay J.
He's
a national.
Yeah, maybe he was dying it back in the day.
Yeah, him and Philip Schofield share a lot of secrets.
Yeah,
not so much secrets anymore because they both got white hair, and that's what the secret was that I was aware of.
Yeah,
he's a national treasure.
You know what? Merriman. I grew up watching Philip Schofield on TV in New Zealand.
Mm.
He actually hosted a kind of magazine show on New Zealand TV called Shazam, where they did music videos and like stuff that was happening in entertainment news. So yeah, I grew up with this young Philip Schofield on the TV, and then he moved back to England.
Yeah, and he's referenced in It's a Sin as well. Bear in mind, It's a Sin is set in the 1980s and early 90s. But anyway, I've got to go now, so as I don't get killed.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, everybody, and hopefully see you in a couple of weeks' time. Bye bye.
Is that the end of the extra podcast bit?
Bye bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.